everyone. Welcome. I'm Carrie Elf, and this is Carrie Elf's Heartlink Show. And as I connect to as many hearts as possible, we are creating more freedom, light, and love, one interview at a time. My programs will bring you insights into the great awakening that is underway on planet Earth as we approach 2012. I'll be keeping you abreast of the latest tools available for anchoring a greater and healthier reality into your life. I'll be interviewing leading-edge experts in the metaphysical, scientific, paranormal, and spiritual realms. Stay tuned for the next hour as I speak with Barbara Han Clow, one of my favorite women. She is phenomenal. And we're going to have a whole hour with her. And you get to call in if you want to at the bottom of the hour, so please do check out the 800 numbers that are available on the Internet. And first, I'd like to introduce myself, and I'm Carrie Elf. I'm a transformational counselor, coach, and educator. And at the Heartlink Institute, I train others to be counselors and life coaches as well. So go to my website at www.heartlinkinstitute.com and learn more about my counseling practices and the classes I teach. You can also purchase the oracle I created called the Crop Circle Cards. That's also on my website at heartlinkinstitute.com. And first, before we go to Barbara Han Clow, I'd like you to just take a deep breath and relax. And let sacred love flow through you now. And the blessing of the day comes from the Gayatri Prayer. Let us focus on that effulgent light from which the whole universe is projected. May this inner sun enlighten our minds and hearts, and may we awaken as that light. All right, so good things are coming your way, and I'd like to introduce Barbara Han Clow. And she's been on our show before, and so I hope you can review that show. That was December 12th, 2007, which was just a little bit over a year ago. So I think it's a perfect time for having her on again to catch up with what's happening in the Mayan code and what we can do to shore up for the next year. And we certainly are having some interesting times. And so she is very special. She's an international speaker and ceremonial leader, and she's trained in the Cherokee and Mayan traditions. And she also, I learned about Barbara a while back, and we communicated, and she was the acquisitions editor for Bear & Company way back in the 80s and 90s. And now she is, along with her partner, Jerry Clow, she helps to lead Pleiadian agenda activations. Wow, Barbara, that sounds fun. And she's also wonderful in taking you to special sacred sites all over the world to help you activate. So, and she has a website at handclow2012.com. That's handclow2012.com. And it's a wonderful website, and I would recommend you check out. She's an astrologer, and she's phenomenal with her information. And welcome, Barbara.
Hi, Carrie.
What an interesting day. You know, these are interesting times.
Yes, they are.
I'm so glad that we could have you on again to help us sort out what's going on.
Yeah, and I'm really happy to be here, because the last time I talked to you, we were just at the beginning of what's called Night 5 in the Mayan calendar, which turned out to be extremely difficult, especially the financial crash. And now we've entered Day 6, which is a much more optimistic phase. And we can see a lot more now because we've gone to this other level, so this should be fun.
Excellent. I'm glad to hear it.
I know.
And maybe we can get some more clarity on that. But you have been very involved in this nine dimensions that have been activating in people. And I'm interested in exploring that some more. And, well, I'm just interested in where you're going to take us today, anywhere you want to take us.
Well, the nine dimensions are very, very central, actually, to what might be going on right now. So maybe if we get into exactly what they are and what it means, maybe that'll help us get a better sense of the timing and the mind code.
All right. So go right ahead.
So just go right for it? Okay,
yeah.
Well, where the nine-dimensional form came from was that I channeled a book called The Pleiadian Agenda, A New Cosmology for the Age of Light. And I did the sessions for The Pleiadian Agenda in sort of half of 1994 and half of 1995. And I'm able to channel basically anything, but I don't like to channel at all. And what happened was a body of information was coming through me that was just so intense that there was just no way that I could bring it in except channel it. And so I finally did that. And what came through was a whole nine-dimensional system that has to do with the science of nine dimensions and has to do with the actual structure of consciousness in the universe. And it's a system that shows a higher evolutionary potential within human beings. And so, as I said, that was channeled. And once it came through, I went out and taught it for a number of years. These are called Pleiadian Agenda activations. But when I first went out to teach it, I didn't understand about half of the material that had come through me, because it's very cosmological and very involved with fairly advanced science, which I did not understand at the time. So as a result of that, since I don't like teaching stuff that I don't understand, I went on a very, very intense study of science, and I learned a lot from my students. And then finally, in 2004, I published a scientific analysis of my own channeled book, which is really kind of amazing, actually. It was kind of like a total right brain intake in the mid-90s, and then a very left brain consciousness about that in the mid-2000s. And so as a result of those two books, I now feel very, very confident about the meaning of this nine-dimensional teaching, which I can explain briefly. But before I do that, I'd like to mention that I later discovered that Edward Witten, the person who created the physicist who invented superstring theory, brought in his understanding of superstring theory at exactly the same time that I was bringing it in for the Pleiadian Agenda. And so it looks like there was a scientific breakthrough there that was so intense that I was even able to pick up on that on the intuitive level. So basically, the nine dimensions have to do, first of all, the first four dimensions are grounded dimensions, and they're very earthly dimensions, the first one being the iron core crystal in the center of the earth. And then when we get into the upper five dimensions, the fifth dimension through the ninth dimension, we start to get into some very spiritual levels of consciousness. And what's really, really cool about this system is, first of all, it's a whole spectrum of consciousness, and it also integrates science with consciousness, which I really like. So that's basically what Jerry and I have been teaching. In other words, we do workshops where people actually experience nine dimensions of consciousness simultaneously.
Mm-hmm. Hello? Hello?
Are you there?
I'm here.
Okay.
And so go ahead.
Oh, so well, let me see. What else? Do you have any questions about that? Or do you feel
well,
like,
about the first dimension, you mean?
Well, you want me to explain what each one of the nine dimensions is?
Yeah, if we could just kind of delineate what
sure.
they are.
Yeah. Okay, the first dimension is the iron core crystal in the center of our planet, which is, in fact, is a scientific fact that it does exist. And then the second dimension is the telluric realm, which is the realm of consciousness between the center of the Earth, the iron core crystal, and the surface of our planet. And then when we go into the third dimension, we're in linear space and time, which is us walking around the planet today. And then when we go into the fourth dimension, we go into the collective mind, the archetypal realm. The fourth dimension is not physical, but it's extremely detectable.
Can I ask a question for a moment?
Sure.
Is this where we're at a lot these days in this archetypical realm?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Ideally, and as you know, I've had an indigenous training as a child, and ideally our consciousness is located in the third dimension, and ideally we're very, very grounded in our third dimensional linear space and time.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the intensity of the media and because of the intensity of time acceleration, for most people on the planet at this time, our consciousness is extremely kind of caught and kind of trapped in the fourth dimension.
Mm.
And one of the things I'm hoping with the new president coming in, and this, by the way, speaking of politics, I generally actually am talking about astrology, to say, tell you the truth, because astrology always reflects politics.
Uh-huh.
And it would appear astrologically and the nature and based on the nature of what's going on with Obama and Bush, it would appear that we're going to go back into the third dimension, into a grounded realm where we're going to get something done that makes some sense for a change. We've been in this crazy 8-year period of just like floating in the archetypal realm and not even knowing where to turn, if you know what I mean.
It's been quite disconcerting at times.
It's extremely disconcerting. A relative sent me a copy for Christmas of Goodnight Bush. And do you remember when you were a kid or when you were a mom reading to your kids? Do you remember Goodnight Moon, that wonderful children's book?
Uh-huh.
Well, somebody got permission to take the concept in Goodnight Moon, which is this peculiar kind of world of this child's room with all these things changing all the time. It's a very, very archetypal book.
Uh-huh.
And somebody took off on it and did instead Goodnight Bush, which was interesting. And so I thought that was very interesting. It came up.
Now, I'm going to have to interrupt here, because when you say Goodnight Bush, can you be specific? What kind of bush are we talking about?
Well, in Goodnight Moon, the child's book, the child is in his room, and the moon is outside the window, and then there are all these pictures on the wall and all of these like things going on in the room, like toys being played with and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And in Goodnight Bush, what happens is instead of a rabbit sitting in a chair and saying goodnight to the child, instead it's Chaney sitting in the rocking chair.
Oh, okay.
But the reason that it's such an interesting thing is that...
So you're talking about President Bush, in other words.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I thought it could have been the tree.
No, unfortunately, probably for the next 30 years, whenever anybody hears the word Bush, they're going to think...
You know, hey, that's like, immediately what I did, but, you
it's
know...
It's kind of like going back to 1000 B.C. with the burning bush, you know. You can't think of a real bush. It's got to be George Bush or a burning bush. But no, I was referring...
Well, I wanted to be real clear about that, though.
Yeah.
I didn't want to jump to conclusions.
Yeah, and it was a great satire on... Of course, it was meant to be a satire, but what captured my fantasy about it was it really... caught that sense of being stuck in this kind of childlike, weird, fantasy-riven archetypal world. I mean, to have a person in charge of a country who's supposedly an adult acting like a 4-year-old 95% of the time has been really difficult to live with.
It truly is. It did. It really did a bunch of... our psyches were really being exploited, I think.
I know, and anybody out there right now who isn't overweight, who doesn't have type 2 diabetes, who isn't a drunk or whatever, you should congratulate yourselves because you've just made it through an amazing period in history. And then, of course, the whole period can be seen astrologically, and then it especially can be seen in the Mayan code time acceleration issue, because we entered a very rapid time acceleration in 1999 AD, and then right after that, the Bush Enterprise came in. And so we've been living just in the middle of just a really bizarre period of time.
I mean, I was so excited back then and thinking, okay, this is it. We've made it to this mark, and we're ready to go now. And it was like a shock to my system.
It's interesting. One of the things, you know, we're all growing and learning, obviously. And one of the things I've been really learning during this period of my life is I'm amazed at how much difficulty we have to go through before we get someplace. It's almost like the closer we get to being able to go to another level. It's the old going through the tunnel and seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. It's certainly like that.
Mm-hmm.
But
I like that.
You know, astrologically, Jupiter has now gone into Aquarius. I mean, Obama couldn't possibly have better aspects to start this job, and hopefully the energy astrologically and based on mind code is going to help a lot.
Well, and I'm glad you brought that up because I was a bit disconcerted when I learned that he was being inaugurated on the Void of Course moon,
mm-hmm.
which pretends to be a bad omen for some presidents in the past. Well,
yeah,
what's
your
take on that?
You know, I didn't analyze that. I didn't pay much attention to it, to tell you the truth, because a lot of astrologers don't use quincunxes, which are 150-degree angles.
Mm-hmm.
And quincunxes are as strong as trines, squares, or sextiles, or oppositions. And I bet you there's a 90% probability or more if you put quincunxes in there, it's not a void of course moon.
Mm-hmm.
So I've kind of stopped paying much attention to
I'm so glad to hear
moon.
That.
Yeah, if you add quincunxes, and the quincunxes are just incredibly strong aspects, I get very, very frustrated with astrologers who don't put them on an equal level with the other major
mm-hmm.
aspects.
So you're seeing it's a good time for someone to step into the presidency?
Well, I'm not seeing it. First of all, he's being handed, in terms of the country's financial situation, he's being handed a bankrupt country. And he's being handed...
But could that be a good thing?
You know how that is. Everything is going to be ending up positive or negative depending on what you do with it.
Yeah, exactly.
And so it could be a good thing, and certainly one of the...
I mean, it's almost like he gets a clean slate in a way to start working
yeah.
with.
Yeah, and then one of the things that I discuss in the Mayan code quite extensively is that part of what we're going through right now is the end of consumerism, because we can't continue to consume the planet. And so the fact that the consumer pyramid crashed before Obama came in is probably a pretty good thing, because people understand that he's not the cause of it at any level, and they're going to be very patient attempting to support him
mm-hmm.
In trying to...
I'm a bit disconcerted by the some of his cabinet selections.
Mm-hmm.
The Secretary of Agriculture concerns me.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's a Monsanto man, and
mm-hmm.
and so there are a few things that are concerning me that seem kind of like the status quo.
Yeah, I see signs of
business
that
as usual kind of
oh,
stuff.
Yeah. Not so much as usual, but certainly there's issues like that. And that's one thing that's going on is I think people in the United States really have come to a much, much greater understanding of the reality they live in. And people are going to be watching like hawks all the time if they see something they don't like.
Yeah. Well, already, I mean, there's enough intelligent people right now that are watching, like you
mm-hmm.
say, like hawks. And I suppose he can replace any of these secretaries that he wants to
sure.
as time goes on. So.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's no way that anybody is going to, speaking of Obama, there's no way that anybody is going to have gotten as far as he has gotten without having some relationship with the world power structure.
Of course.
For example, supposedly his mentor is Zbigniew Brzezinski.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know
yeah.
if you knew that or not.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
David Icke speaks a lot about that.
Yeah, and so there's no way, that you're going to get where he got without that. But whether there's something else going on with him, we're just certainly it's not going to be as bad as it has been. I mean,
it's like this change of energy, and I love the astrology that's behind it, that Pluto went into Capricorn and is now, on the 26th, will be there permanently for the next, until 2024.
Yeah.
And so the energies are definitely talking to a whole change of structure in some fashion.
Yes, definitely. And also possibly in a very negative way, like as you know, Saturn opposed Neptune Saturn opposed Uranus on the day of the election.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're coming up for another one February 5th, and we've got three more after that. And whenever Saturn opposes Uranus, there's always a tremendous amount of structural change. And back in the 60s, it got to be, pretty out of control.
Mm-hmm.
Although I thought it was great. I was a 60s radical, and I thought the whole thing was
great. Yeah, wonderful. I guess it depends on your age.
So it depends, certainly upon your age, upon how you look at it. But certainly
mm-hmm.
Saturn opposing Uranus at this time could indicate racial tension. It could indicate a lot of things that are going to be fairly hard to handle. But
well, the older generation is going to have more difficulty, I would think,
mm-hmm.
handling these new energies.
Mm-hmm.
That's the certainly a lot are choosing to check out
mm-hmm.
as as we get deeper into this transitional time.
So if I can, carry all, I actually have discovered something just incredibly potentially positive in studying in the Mayan code. Now, is that okay if we switch to it?
Yeah, I'm sorry if we really didn't finish going to number five on your nine dimensions.
Okay,
we can do anything you want. Decide.
Let's go back to nine dimensions. And then because, in my opinion, after teaching the nine-dimensional material and then discovering it 12 years ago, I think it's one model for the next stage of evolution for the human.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say it's the model, because I would never say that, but I think it's a very profound model for where we might be going.
Mm-hmm.
So going back to the dimensions, when we go into the fifth dimension, we go out of the archetypal realm, which is very dualistic, and everything is split between dark and light and positive and negative, which you know how it is with the collective mind.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we go into the fifth dimension, we go into the opening of the heart. As soon as we've resolved the collective dilemma, as soon as you've gone through some kind of a healing there, then we go into opening our hearts. And then once we go into a heart opening, the next dimension that opens up is the sixth dimension, which is the dimension of sacred geometry. It's the dimension of ideal form. And then once we move into the sixth dimension, then we move into the seventh dimension, which is the dimension that sound comes from. Sound actually creates form in the universe, and then in the form in the universe in the sixth dimension then creates the love and the opening of the heart in the fifth dimension. You can go either direction. And then once we move into the realm of sound in the universe, then the next thing that happens is we move into the eighth dimension, which is into the realm of God consciousness and into the realm of the Creator. And then once we move into the consciousness of the Creator, the interesting thing about the nine-dimensional system is then at that point we move into time, and time as defined by the Mayan calendar. And so way back in 1994 and 95, this system came in that has time at the ninth dimension, which is the evolutionary protocol. It's like the evolutionary cycles and plans that are happening. And then with the evolutionary cycles of time, then we move back into the eighth dimension, into the consciousness of the Creator, of God, and then we go back down. So you can go either way with these dimensions, but each one of them is a higher frequency, and each one of them has a greater development of complexity.
Wonderful. You know, it just felt so good when you get to the fifth dimension.
I know. Well, you know, one of the things that was funny about writing this book is where the complex science comes in, is in the sixth, seventh, eighth, and ninth dimension. It's interesting. It was complicated back in the mid-90s, but it's amazing how many people have come to an understanding about sacred geometry. For example, crop circles and your wonderful cards.
And then,
as you know, there's a lot of signs that the crop circles are actually imprinted, that they come through from the dimension of sound, and then sound creates geometry.
Mm-hmm.
And so things that were difficult to understand in the mid-90s are actually making a lot more sense now, aren't they?
Absolutely.
Yeah. But in order to write the book, I had to do, so much study of cosmology and physics and stuff, and I can assure you I would have rather stopped at the fifth dimension. Because who needs anything more than opening the heart? And yet at the same time, the complexity of the heart is actually coming from these higher levels of consciousness. And when people get into sacred geometry or crop circles, as an example, they find their hearts are opening because of that higher dimensional opening.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean? So, but it was, I figured, who needs to do anything more than just go to the opening of the heart?
I agree. And during these times, it's essential that we continue to remind ourselves to go to that higher realm, and not get bogged down by the material realms. But you know what? We're being like, really, this is a test.
Yes,
feels
it is.
Like.
Yes, it is.
You know what I'm saying? It's like a real. Can you speak to that? What people are faced with, and how we can really what to do to get us back into the higher frequencies mm-hmm. and not get hooked in through our addictions and so forth.
Yeah.
And again, it's collapsing, but it's hard for people to let go of things that they're so used to. So
right, right. Well, let's attempt to understand exactly where we are in the Mayan code, in the calendar right now.
Mm-hmm.
The reason being that this system that Carl Coleman discovered is giving us such an amazing opportunity to understand what's actually happening to us that I'm just simply going right there all of the time. Because
mm-hmm.
if you start with where we are and what's actually happening, then usually you have a lot more compassion for yourself and you have a lot more perspective on what's going on for everybody because we're in the middle of this whole thing together.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked to you last year, as you know, just after we had gone into night five. And night five is the most difficult section of the Mayan calendar. Now, what am I talking about? Well, what we have to understand is that there are nine levels in the evolutionary process. They're called underworlds, and they go all the way back to 16.4 billion years ago. And so with each one of these nine underworlds, each underworld is accelerating faster and faster and faster. So if we go back to 16.4 billion years ago, it doesn't make sense to most people because we don't know much about that except cosmology and the Big Bang. And so if we come forward in time a little bit, it becomes possible to understand something about these underworlds. And so I'm just going to skip right up to 5,000 years ago, if that's okay with you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, and so what happened 5,125 years ago, according to the calendar, is we entered into the development of history and the development of civilization. And if you look at the planet at that point, all of a sudden, all over the world, civilization just popped up, like in Sumer and Egypt and China. And so that happens to have been one of those time accelerations. But it's important because it's one that we remember. I mean, we have a sense of because we studied history. Then we go to the next time acceleration, which is 1755. And these are mathematical divisions, and we don't need to worry about that on the phone very much, on the radio very much. But what happened in 1755 is suddenly industry popped up all over the planet. And suddenly people were pulled out of their rural villages and went into factories. And if people tune into it, you can feel a distinctive shift in your body that actually represents a time acceleration. Then the next one...
What was the founding of the nation at that time, wasn't it?
Yeah. Matter of fact, speaking of that particular underworld, which is called the planetary underworld, that really is basically ruled by the United States and the formation of the United States, the Articles of Confederation in 1755, and then, of course, the Constitution in 1776.
Mm-hmm.
So the United States, starting back in 1755, became a real leader of the movement on the world stage, although if you looked at the whole world and Europe back in 1755, you wouldn't have seen that at the time.
Sure.
But the timing showed that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So then the next time acceleration, called the galactic underworld, is 1999. And so what I'm saying, Carrie-Elle, this is just a basic concept we need to nail down because there's something even much more interesting going on right here, but you kind of have to have a sense of this.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to 1999, it's amazing how you can feel a tremendous speed up in your reality and in your consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we're talking about here is three periods of time, 3116 BC, and then 1755 AD, and then 1999 AD. And mm-hmm. in each one of these, we're going 20 times faster.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can go all the way back to 16.4 billion years ago, and you can see the same incremental levels of time acceleration. And to understand this anymore, it would take us a lot more to talk about it. But what's important right now is where we started. I mentioned that you and I were entering night five last year when we talked.
Mm-hmm.
And then at this point, we've just begun day six. And so within these nine levels of time acceleration, within each one of them, there's 13 stages of development, and these just are called the 13 heavens. And then the 13 heavens divide into 7 days and six nights. That's just the structure of it. So when I say we've just gone through night five and we've just gone into day six, what's happening is I'm talking about those different stages of the underworld. Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
Want to make sure that people can understand what I'm talking about too. This is not simple, and
it's complex.
In order to fully comprehend it, you really have to have study Columbine or read the Mayan code to understand it. But here's what I'm after, what I'm really trying to get at, is that because Columbine has discovered has decoded this way that evolution is functioning, we can take day six, which is what we're in the middle of right now, what we just entered into in November, and we can go back through day six of the planetary, which is the 1755 to 2011 period. We can go back to day six of the national, which is 3116 BC to 2011. And then we can go back to the previous underworlds, and we can see what was happening in the day sixes of the previous underworlds. And then once we can see what happened at, during day six in the other underworlds before this one, then we have a prediction for what's going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of following me?
I absolutely follow. It explains why so many people have just caught this wave of excitement about Obama.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like back to 1755, creating the nation.
Yeah, that's really astute on your part. That's absolutely right. And so, of course, in my case, I had to go out and do a bunch of lectures right at the opening of day six, because we celebrate those. And so what I decided to do in order to, to teach it, was I decided to go back through all the other underworlds and see what was going on. And what I have discovered just absolutely blows my mind. And so I'd love to give you that information, because this is 2 months ago that I saw what I could see, and I'm still kind of utterly amazed by it.
Well, go for it. That's
okay.
Great.
So first of all, where I got excited was if we go back into the first underworld, which is called the cellular underworld, we're going back to 16.4 billion years ago. And so remember, before looking at day six, I had also looked at night five, and I looked at day five, and I looked at night four and day four. In other words, I've been going back since 1999 every year, taking a look at these things. And looking at the cellular underworld, the 16.4 billion year long underworld, this was the first time that I had any information. Because the way this works is that each one of the days or nights in the cellular underworld is, let's see, how long are they? They're about, I didn't write that one down, but they're about 1.5 billion years long, something like that. And so when we go back in the cellular to day six, the period of time that we're talking about is 2.5 to 3.8 billion years ago. And the amazing thing about it is that's the first time we get any information about the cellular, because before that, the planet had not even accreted. The solar system and the planet accreted and went into its form about 4 billion years ago. So what we find during day six of the cellular is we find the first unicellular cells on the planet. They're called prokaryotes. In other words, during the cellular day six, we had the first formation of cells that eventually became us. And can you imagine what a leap in evolution that was?
Quantum leap,
first,
yep.
Yeah. So then when we look at the mammalian underworld, which is 820 million years ago to 2011, the mammalian underworld, of course, represents the development of mammals. And so when we go back in the mammalian, we go back to 126 to 189 million years ago. And, of course, on that one, we have a lot more information. So here's what happened during day six of the mammalian. What happened was, because of continental drift, Pangaea started breaking into continents. So, in other words, this is the point when all of the land masses on the Earth were all in one big glop, so to speak. And they started splitting, and the continents started forming.
Ooh,
and the other thing that happened biologically is we find the first evidence in small mammals for brain lateralization, which means the right and the left brain. Mm-hmm. So during day six of the mammalian underworld, the continent started to form and our brain started to develop left and right lateralization. Now,
great.
Think of that in terms of evolution. If
quantum.
We had not, you know, if we had not split into right and left brain, you and I wouldn't be talking to each other today. Isn't that amazing?
It is amazing.
Mm-hmm. I know. So, okay, let's take the familial, which is the beginning of kind of clans forming and consciousness beginning to develop between animals. And the familial underworld is 41 million years ago up to 2011. And day six of the familial underworld is 6.3 to 9.5 million years ago. And this is when human lineages split from apes and chimpanzees, and this is when we stood up and we started standing on our feet.
Mm. Wow.
Think about that. I mean, think
wow.
about what that was like for the early monkeys and the lineages. They started to split into what eventually turned into hominids. And think of that point when they started standing up on their feet and they were able to use their hands.
So I'm getting a picture of where we're going with this.
We're really going someplace because this is so, I mean, this is giving me more ability to understand why I feel like I feel right now than anything I've found, you know.
Wonderful.
Okay, so let's go to the tribal underworld, which is when we really start to see socialization starting to happen. And this is 2 million years ago. It's tribal is 2 million years ago up to 2011. And day six of the tribal underworld is 216 to 474,000 years ago. So that's not million, that's years ago. And this is the period when Neanderthal appeared on the planet. This is the period when the first hominid who had a consciousness that was highly developed, and Neanderthal, we could talk about Neanderthal for hours in terms of their consciousness and their right brain awareness, and also as hominids of deep heart consciousness, by the way.
Mm.
Yeah. And so they appeared. And then we go to the regional underworld, which is 102,000 years ago until 2011. And day six of the regional underworld is, I didn't write this down, but it's something like 23,000 to about 17,000 years ago, something like that. So we're really getting close in time now. And as far as I'm concerned, and Graham Hancock and a lot of other researchers, this was the period of the global maritime civilization. There are a lot of alternative researchers who believe that there was a fairly advanced civilization on our planet at that time. And then, of course, we went through some kind of major cataclysm 10 to 12,000 years ago.
Mm. You talk about that in your catastrophobia.
Yeah, that's right. I grabbed a sip of water there. I think I'm coming down with a cold.
Oh, well.
Okay. Then we go to
that's
the
understandable during these times.
Yeah, well, we go to the national underworld, and now we're really coming up close in time, and this is 3,116 BC to 2011, and this is really interesting, okay? Day six of the national underworld is 829 AD to 1223 AD, and this is the time of the Islamic medieval awakening, which helped bring Europe out of the Dark Ages.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I picked, a kind of Eurocentric model here. We could look at the whole planet, but I'm just kind of looking at things that are really affecting us. And so what happened back during day six of the National Underworld is Europe had lost its literature, had lost its art, had lost its educational systems and everything, and the Islamic civilization inspired Europe to come into an awakening.
Interesting.
Now, think of the implications of that with Barack Obama and obviously a different attitude toward Iran. And look, he's obviously going to be handling politics in a very, very different
mm-hmm.
way. Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm.
Boy.
Wonderful. And so are you going to take us to the planetary now?
Yeah, the last one, the planetary day six, is 1952. To 1972, and this is when America came forth as the basic, really ended up being kind of the leader of the global empire.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when America kind of began to dominate through consumerism, and also it's the period of the Cold War.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that that's why we're coming up to a consumer crash now, because the whole basis of reality that was developed during day six of the planetary needs to be transformed at this point.
Mm.
So what I'm getting at, Carrie-Elle, is that we, at this point in time, are at an evolutionary moment that's equivalent to when monkeys first stood up and all of the things that I said here, and the steps that we're taking at this moment in time are so monumental that most of us are almost incapable of grasping what's going on.
Well, I have to interject here that I really do see a moment, perhaps this year, where we may have contact. First contact, or actually umpteenth millionth contact.
You remember what the, when I've got to find the chapter, there's the, one of the subhead for day six in the Mayan code, because I just did an interview on Exopolitics Radio about this.
Oh,
they
wonderful.
Okay, on page 180 of the Mayan code, the truth about exopolitics during day six of the galactic underworld.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a five-page discussion about how the Earth was quarantined at some point in time. I personally think it was during the because of the cataclysm. And what happened?
Explain why you would say that.
I picked that period in time because when I go back into the Paleolithic, either by time traveling or by studying anthropology, what I see is a very peaceful species on the planet. I don't see the kind of violence. You don't even see the kind of violence and warfare that's going on. You don't see this kind, these kinds of levels until at least about 2000 BC for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
But we were, have been a pretty violent species even from 5000 BC, but especially starting in 2000 BC. And so,
the thesis
of Catastrophobia, which is my 2001 book, it's a study of how cataclysms have affected our consciousness. And it's a study of a great cataclysm that basically is 11,500 years ago, but it's even back to 14,000 years ago. And what happened to our solar system is that the Vela supernova blew up, and fragments from the Vela supernova came into our solar system from about 14,000 to about 11,500 BC. The biggest cataclysm was 11,500 BC. And at that point, many of the species on the planet were wiped out. The humans at that point, Cro-Magnon, hunter-gatherer humans, that survived were severely traumatized. And I've covered that very extensively in Catastrophobia, that even our nervous systems were traumatized by what we had to live with. And so I think what happened is that we became such a violent species that we were quarantined from the rest of the universe. Now, this is based on the teaching of exopolitics, which is a scientific study that's actually going on at Stanford research. And the idea would be that the universe is conscious, that there are various political systems on all the planets and in all the galaxies, and that there is a universal system in the universe that's called universe, actually the founder of it calls it Universe Society. And by the way, the last underworld in 2011 is called the Universal Underworld. Kalman calls it the Universal Underworld.
Mm-hmm.
And Kalman didn't know anything about exopolitics, I'm pretty certain, when he picked that term. But the idea would be that we were quarantined because they're not going to allow our violence and aggressiveness to go out into the universe. But as soon as we make peace on Earth, then what's going to happen is we're going to become part of the universe again. So as a matter of fact, there's a lot going on right now. There have been significant studies on Mars this year. There's a lot of signs of contact. You probably know more about it than I do.
Yeah, they're saying that there's evidence of human forms and animal forms.
That's right.
So, interesting. Wow, I mean, I'm excited about what this all can mean for us as becoming universal humans.
Well, it would appear that the way evolution was designed by the Creator, or whoever designed it, the World Tree or whatever, it would appear that we've been designed to reach a point where we could reflect on ourselves. In other words, that we would come to this point now where we would finally understand evolution, and we would understand how we're at the pinnacle of evolution, and then what would happen as a species is we would go into another form of consciousness. You know, and whether that's a transformation of ourselves on some level, or whether that's becoming part of the universe, or maybe the two fit together. Because can you imagine how people could wake up on this planet if they realized that we're not alone in this universe at all?
Exactly. And, you know, just to hold that vision of this happening much sooner than later.
Yeah.
It feels right to me that it's coming very soon.
And what's given me a lot of consolation when I went back and really looked into what was going on during the previous day sixes is when I saw that huge step forward, that just monumental step forward. There's in each one of these underworlds, you only see this level of development during day sixes. You see other levels of evolution, but you get this big breakthrough, which is called the Advanced Unifying Synthesis by Carl Coleman. And so when I study this stuff, I put it into my body. You know, like if I'm going to go back to that point when the apes and chimpanzees, when the hominid lines split and something different was going on and the hominids started standing, I feel that in my body. I'm like, oh, my God. Like last year I spent about an hour just in an ecstatic state of consciousness realizing what it was like when the first amphibians started to go onto the land, you know, when the fishes left the sea. It's incredible, you know.
It sure is.
And then we can respect ourselves. I mean, I don't know what it has
to do with that. Well, it's like this sense of, okay, then it makes everything worthwhile.
Yeah.
You know, because so much... There's been so much gloom and doom, and it's like, okay, let's focus on why this is happening for a good reason.
Yeah, and then there must be something, and Coleman has all sorts of wonderful explanations about how things work in a larger level, in other words, how cosmic things affect us as humans, or how the planetary fields affect us. But assuming that we're in the middle of taking this great leap, which would be to start living like human beings instead of monsters and stop killing each other and start living with love. Assuming that's what we're in the middle of, then what's happening is our very brains are getting rewired right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so this helps me be patient with myself, you know,
because
some of the stuff that's going on in my head and in my body is like you have to question whether you're going to survive at this point.
Exactly. It is... An enormous metamorphosis for all of us, and no question about it.
Yeah.
And I love the way William Henry describes it. He talks about the pupil or lava state as the butterfly then just blossoms, and so we're like going into the next level of our light body. I guess is the best way to put it.
Yeah. And it's amazing too. If you think of a chrysalis, and you know, you think of the butterfly coming out of the chrysalis. It's like that stage. How incredible that must be to just bring those wings out and have them like open, and then have the air touch them. You know, that's where we are, and that's why it's so difficult.
And it's a challenge for us to. And I know we're equipped to measure up here because we wouldn't have chosen this journey. But it is to focus once again on the visions of what it would be like if we could create the planet the way we want it.
Yeah, that's right.
In the most spiritual, highest evolved vibration that we can imagine.
Mm-hmm. And so where that puts us back to where we were half an hour ago, what about taking care of ourselves and how do we handle this? I think we have to assume that we've come to the point where the role that each one of us is playing is of critical importance. And I don't care whether it's building a brick wall right now or writing a book or taking a walk or whatever it is, But what each one of us is doing is a fundamental part of the whole at this point. And otherwise, this doesn't make sense unless we look at it that way, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, first of all, we've got to value, you know, sometimes I have days where I go, did I do anything today? You know, and I didn't used to be like that. I used to be the kind of person 10 years ago who did 25 things every day, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But if
yeah.
I can just do something for another person or make something special, anything that I can do matters, you know.
Well, and Barbara, you've done so much already. I'm here to tell you that.
No, but you know what I mean?
Yes.
You know what I mean? And then the flip side of this is being another thing we've got to remember right now, because there's a lot of pain on the planet right now.
Yeah.
According to Kalaman and me, as we go through these levels of these underworlds and these days and nights and all that, we're processing all of the previous experience that we've had. And so when we see the level of violence, and another thing that's been just bizarre the last couple of years, it's just some of the crimes that have occurred
yeah.
in the last 3 or 4 years, your mind just boggles mm-hmm. at people locking their children in basements for 25 years and things like that,
mm-hmm.
you know. But what's happening is we're actually processing different levels of barbarity and different levels of shadow and all that that have been
And of Satan, I guess, would be another term that people would, especially given Capricorn now is the light in the dark sides of Capricorn.
Yeah.
Satan obviously is going to come up for us, and we really need to understand that
and this
understand we're
moon,
integrating our shadows right
yeah,
now.
And this last new moon, the new moon was December 27th, this Capricorn new moon, wow. I mean, it's been like being in an annealing furnace, hasn't it? You know? And yet when we come to the next new moon, the Aquarius solar eclipse, everything is the 25th of January, 26th of January, everything is just going to flip wide open.
Yeah,
You know.
Going to have all those planets in Aquarius. It's going to be amazing.
Well, also because of Jupiter and different factors and the eclipse and everything. In other words, we just got crunched during that Capricorn lunar phase. And look at the financiers who committed suicide during this Capricorn period.
Yeah.
You know,
again, if you're on this understanding that you're integrating your shadow, then you're not going to commit suicide. That's all there is to that one.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Wonderful. You know, I could go on another hour at least. We'll have to have you back again.
Oh, yeah.
And keep us updated. Is there anything else you'd like to end on?
I don't know. What do I want to say? I just think we just really have to be compassionate and patient with each other now. You know, we're doing it, and we just got to keep moving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, when things start going, it's, you know, just let you know, envision something else replacing it. It's going to be so much better.
Yes. I believe that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. You've been listening to my guest, Barbara Hanclough, and I'm Carrie L., and this is Carrie L.'s Heartling Show. And thank you, Barbara.
Well, thank you, Carrie L.
Wonderful. You're an inspiration, and you're just, well, what can I say? I'm so glad that we can hear from you.
We've known each other a long time.
I know. And I want to also thank BBS Radio for allowing us to have shows that expand our consciousness.
Yes.
And listen next time when I will have Jerry Tettelman on, and he'll speak to us about One World Democracy. It'll be interesting. And please do go to Barbara's website. That's handclough2012.com. That's handclough2012.com. And do listen on my free archives, and also go to my website at heartlinkinstitute.com. And I'm so glad that we've been able to connect and broaden our horizons toward more freedom, light, and love. Have a great day.